I don't know what the top temperature is that you're looking at today, but it is warmer today than it was yesterday. And I'm not going to blame anybody for this, but Brandon Johnson becomes mayor, and then, bam, we get hit with a heat wave. Mayor Johnson, I'm not going to blame you on this, but is that a coincidence? 100 degrees in your city right now, sir.
Well, 100 degrees, wildfires in the north in Canada, and an unprecedented amount of rain and floods. So, you know, look, if the locusts come, as my wife always reminds me, we all should repent.
So, really, maybe this is sins in a previous life. Although, actually, I think you're right. I think, not to get too serious about this, but if you had to pick any place in the country where you thought, I'll take the weather there, I think Chicago and the Midwest are looking pretty good these days.
We're still the greatest city in the world, the city of Chicago. It's been a real honor over these, you know, first 3 months in office. You know, to live out, you know, something that I'm greatly humbled by. And so, yes, there's so many different reasons to pick the city of Chicago, and we have real seasons. Now, some would argue that our seasons don't last long enough, but we'll save that for another conversation. But we at least do have four seasons, even though two in particular tend to drag out a little bit longer than we want.
Actually, you campaigned on that, longer fall. What are you doing to
Well, with the Cubs being only a couple of games out of first place, you know, having a longer fall, if it includes having a playoff team in the city of Chicago playing in the fall, then I'm going to take credit for that, too.
Mayor Johnson, then you'll also have to take credit for, or the criticism for, your graduated mansion tax. I don't think mansion is the right word. You don't use mansion when you talk about this property transfer tax, do you?
I do not. In fact, you know, what I've spoken of repeatedly, and the people of Chicago, you know, have gracefully articulated the need to address the unhoused dynamic that we have in Chicago, and you know, being the greatest city in the world with 65,000 plus families unhoused, you know, that is, you know, certainly a real indication of what we have to do to really improve the quality of life for so many people. And what I've been committed to doing, and over the first 3 months, I've expressed this and we've delivered on it. We've brought people together. And that's our organizations who have been pushing hard for, you know, this dedicated revenue stream, as well as industry.
Well, will the money from this transfer tax increase, on most people, the transfer tax will go down, but for people with million-dollar properties or higher, then the property tax transfer goes up. Is that money necessarily going to go to that program, or will it just go to the general coffers of the city?
Well, our focus is the program, right? Because, look, 20,000 of those 65,000 unhoused are students, and many people know I've served as a public school teacher here in Chicago, and I can tell you, when you're, you know, trying to encourage a child to understand comma splices and drawing conclusions and all this approach, it's really hard to do that when you don't have stability with housing, you don't have, you know, regular dedicated income and real economic security. And so, as you've indicated, we put together a very collaborative approach, and we've created a very effective compromise where we can provide relief for the vast majority of Chicagoans will actually pay less in that transfer of property. And those larger spaces have the opportunity to not only continue to grow our footprint within our housing industry, and we're seeing that, right?
Yeah, but if I may, but I spoke to a real estate broker earlier today, and he said that, you know, $1 million property could be a 3-flat that somebody invests in, and now they're going to get hit with $20,000 or $30,000, say, in tax just to transfer that property to another buyer. And he said, this was his word, this is a disaster. This hurts people who aren't millionaires, and those aren't mansions. What would you say to him or those people business?
What I've said repeatedly, first of all, we brought people together. And so this was, you know, a real concerted effort, as I've committed to doing, is bringing people together to collaborate to address the critical needs of the city of Chicago. And we've done just that. It has been articulated in the structure. The vast majority of individuals are going to actually pay less for transfer. We just had a $100 million sale on a commercial property where we're seeing the incredible growth expand throughout the city of Chicago. So this allows industry to continue to grow as well as generate revenue to address a critical need. And no one, I've been all over the city of Chicago, no one is saying that we should not address this issue. In fact, everyone is saying, how can we help and be supportive? And that's the sentiment that we are experiencing all over the city of Chicago.
Which issue are you speaking about, Mayor Johnson?
The one we're talking about, the unhoused.
The unhoused people. Yep. And the way to maybe alleviate their concerns is to tax people with million-dollar properties or more. I'm not against it, but to the people who would say that some of them are on the bubble and that's difficult for their businesses, I presume you're telling them that's fair.
Well, what I'm saying is that, as we've talked about, you know, repeatedly throughout this entire process, there's a gradual increment shift based upon the value of the particular property. And so, again, the vast majority of people in the city of Chicago will pay less on the transfer. And then there is a gradual increase up to a certain amount that will impact people differently. And that's fair, right? That's the progressive approach that I said that I would bring to city government. That's what the people of Chicago want. They find it to be reasonable, and it's a good way in which we can bring people together to continue to grow industry while also addressing a critical need. Everyone knows in order to build a better, stronger, safer Chicago, we have to invest in people. I was elected to invest in people, and that's what I'm committed to doing.
I want to ask you also about crime in the city. I think reasonable people would say that 100 days is not enough time to turn the crime problem around in the city, or even to have a noticeable impact. But when would you say it would be fair to judge your plan for reducing crime in the city? You talk about fighting crime with getting jobs for kids. You talk about respecting the Constitution and fair policing. When should we judge the Johnson administration for crime in the city?
Look, it's been a challenge that we've had in the city of Chicago for a very long time, right? I mean, you know, I'm a product of the 90s growing up, and, you know, at one point there were 1,000 people being murdered every year. We just saw just a few years ago all over the country where, you know, you had anywhere from 600 to 700 people being murdered every year. It's a dynamic that I take seriously, and it's one that, of course, I'm living through, raising my family on the west side of Chicago. We love it. It's beautiful, and it is mired with disinvestment, and as a result of that, trauma manifests, and violence tends to manifest as a result.
Well, you have a new superintendent, so I wonder, when would we begin to see...
I think the first thing that we've already seen it, because the first time in the history of the city of Chicago, we have a deputy mayor committed to community safety, and what has that yielded for us within the first 3 months? 24,000 young people that are hired, not just for summer positions, but we're looking to expand year-round positions as well. I mean, look, we had philanthropic business, corporate leaders all invest in programming to deal with the gap between when school lets out and when summer programs at the Park District begin.
I can be as patient as the next person, Mr. Mayor, and I won't blame you if you don't have a number or a date in mind. It sounds like you don't.
Well, are you asking for a number or a date? I don't know if anybody's asking for that. I've been all over the city of Chicago. What I'm saying is that I've been all over the city of Chicago. No one has brought up a specific number or date. What they want to know is, what is my approach? And what my approach has been, which is what the city of Chicago deserves, a collaborative approach. You have to address violence through the lens of investments, right? The safest cities in America have one thing in common. They invest in people. We're going to build a better, stronger, safer Chicago by investing in people. We've done that day one by also having a superintendent. I trust that he'll be confirmed. Snelling, who was raised in Inglewood. He has the support of community-based organizations, the faith community.
I think the people are...
corporate community.
I think people are on your side on that.
Rank-and-file members. But what I'm saying is, I think the people are on my side when it comes to making sure we do what works.
I want to go into
no one has, but let me just say this, though. No one has more of an incentive to have a better, stronger, safer Chicago than someone who's raising children in one of the most violent neighborhoods, right? And so when we ask for a number or a date, the real question is, what will be our approach that's different from other administrations that have not been able to solve it? And the difference between my administration and what I inherited is that we have a full, collaborative, multi-tiered approach to making critical investments, for young people and youth employment across the board, making sure that violence interrupters, the faith community, the philanthropic community, the business community, that we are all working together. That's the full force of government. No one expects one person or one entity to solve a historical
disaster. That's understood. And only because your time is limited, Mr. Mayor, there's two other questions I want to get to. And one of them is in the newsroom. Steve Bertrand?
Your Honor, congratulations. You really did go from 2% in the polls to the mayor's office, though. You predicted it. You talk a lot about giving young people an opportunity and seeing the bright side of their lives. And one of the things that they seem to enjoy is this Friday morning swim that's apparently ending now. Can you find a way to keep that going, or what's your take on that situation?
Well, I mean, I've heard of this situation, and what this situation actually articulates is that we have to find more opportunities for our young people to engage in well-structured, safe activity. And I'm, as I've been doing for the last 100 days or so, is listening to people, listening and taking in the great ideas that people have and figuring out how we can build a system of care around it. So, you know, I'm willing to sit down with anyone, quite frankly, to figure out how to build a better, stronger, safer Chicago.
I want you there with your goggles and your flippers. You know,
I am riding my bike. I'm back to some routines that I had before I was elected. So I'm riding my bike every single morning, you know, through the west side and through the west side of Chicago. So if anyone is interested in riding a bike early in the morning, too, they can join me there. And we can go for a swim later.
Would you support, though? I mean, shouldn't the Park District find a way to keep that organic fun swim going, get more lifeguards out there, something like that?
Well, it has to be done in a regulated and a structured way. Again, the desire is to make sure that there is actually structured, safe activity for people to engage in. And that's what I'm committed to bringing to the city of Chicago. And what we've done over the last 100 days, again, we're bringing people together. Do you know how rare it is to have the CPS, Chicago Public Schools, and the Chicago Teachers Union on one page? We did that in 100 days, right? The fact that we had full force of government show up during the flooding, where we had businesses, the philanthropic community, streets and sanitation, Department of Transportation, fire, police, all coming together to actually help families during these very difficult times. So whether it's people wanting to have good, fun, structured activity, or whether it's addressing the critical issues that have been ignored for a very long time.
Amen to that.
I'm committed to bringing people together.
One last thing as you go. Would you, in retrospect, have handled Allison Arwady's dismissal any differently, knowing what you know now?
Well, what I've always known is that, and this is why I've been hesitant to talk about this, is that discussing someone's the personnel decision, particularly someone's termination publicly, that's not right. In fact, it's against my morals. And I don't believe it's right or morally favorable to discuss the termination of a public servant publicly. I didn't do it. I'm not going to do it.
But you can do it without demeaning her, diminishing her character. Just say, you know, you have different priorities.
Well, I think if you're talking about someone's termination, that you are openly asking me to be critical. And I'm not going to do that to a public servant. I know that some folks have become accustomed with a combative approach to play out publicly, but the people of Chicago did not elect me to have these public divisive interactions.
But so I don't think we're asking you to be critical. I think we're giving you an opportunity to apologize, or at least say, I would have done it personally. I'm not asking for criticism. I'm just asking if, looking back at it, if you thought you handled it in the best way.
Well, that's three different questions. If you're asking me to discuss someone's termination, I don't believe that's right to discuss that, and I'm not going to do it.
Mayor Johnson, thanks for visiting with us today. We've taken more of your time than we first asked for. We appreciate your patience.
Hey, thank you so much. Anytime.